Hi, XYZers. Welcome to the podcast. It's Fiona and I today, and we are going to talk about driving and how we learnt to drive and share some stories about driving. So as a Gen Y, I remember we had to get 120 hours worth of driving.
What year? What decade? I was going to say what century. What decade is that in? Is that the 1990s? Or?
So when was I 18? 2000s.
Okay. Oh, 2000s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You had to get 120 hours. And I just remember there was a book, and you would have to put down the date, and you had to say how long you'd driven and in what conditions, and it had to get signed off by whoever was your supervising driver. And you had to show that as proof before you went for your... So that was when you were on your learners, learning how to drive, and you always had to have someone with you. And then you had to show that as proof before you could then apply for your P's.
Right, okay.
So that was...
How old were you when you went? 18.
So I was six. You could get your learners when you were 16, but you couldn't get your P's until you were 18.
Okay.
So you had 2 years to rack up 120 hours.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
But I don't think I really... I think I started driving late.
Okay. Yeah. Did you want to get your license? Like, were you really excited about it?
I think I did want to get my license, but I also was a little bit scared of the road. Like, I was terrified of driving on the freeways. And, you know, for a very long time, I didn't drive on freeways and stuff
seriously?
Like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So I probably wasn't the most confident driver going around, but that's probably also because I don't have great spatial awareness. And I do remember my friend and I would, like, tag team driving to uni because so she would either kind of come and park at my house and I'd drive down to uni, or we would meet in a car park somewhere and, you know, we'd tag team. She was a much better driver than me, and she would always, and like, we're talking about cars that don't have cameras, don't beep at you, you know, all of that kind of stuff. She would always reverse into the car park. And I would sit as the passenger with my hands over my eyes because I just thought, how can you do this?
Oh, really? That's hilarious.
So like parallel parking, I was like, no, I'm not doing that. You know, like those just things. But so anyway, that's what we had to do as a requirement to get our license. But what about you? When did you and how did you learn to drive?
So I got my license in 1986. So that's just for context for everybody. So 1986 in WA.
How old were you?
I was 17.
Yeah.
And it was very different back then.
So you weren't even 18 and you were on a full license driving by yourself?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, 17.
Oh my God.
So I was not allowed to get my P's or L's before I finished high school.
Yeah.
Don't forget, in WA we go to school a year earlier than some of the other states, so that's why I'm 17. So studied really, really hard because I wanted to get my, like, I was obsessed with getting my driver's license, and I think most of us teenagers in the 80s were. It was a big thing to have a car, like a really, really big thing. Just... Even if you look at all the ads and things like that, it's everybody with their cars with a surfboard on top. It was massive. If you watch the sort of TV, the movies of the time, we always wanted our license. So finished my TEE, got the results, and literally had a lesson the next day. Now, I had 6 one-hour lessons, and then I had my license.
Stop it.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
Were you confident on the road then?
I was. Was I any good? Probably not. But six hours. That's, we didn't have any books that you had to sign or anything.
Did your
like
parents
that.
Take you driving at all?
No. Nah. So I did it all with a driving instructor, and I did 6 lessons. I had to sit the written exam, which I did, and then I had lessons, and then at the end of the 6th one, my instructor says to me, "You're ready for your exams." I'm not kidding. And so then I went and had my exam and I passed first time. Back in my day, a lot of people didn't pass the first time. Like, a lot of people failed multiple times. Like, that was really common.
The written exam or the driving?
No, the driving exam. Yeah. So multiple times people failed the exam.
Yeah.
I didn't. I got it the first time. And then I had a car like a week later and I was driving. It's just crazy. When I think back to it now, because that's how it was, that is crazy. But I had friends who sat the exam 3-4 times. I'm talking about the driving exam and failed it. I had friends who had an accident during one of the exams. I had a friend who hopped into the car with the instructor, with the it was a policeman, and they said to her, turn on the air conditioning and the radio. She didn't know how to, and they said, get out of the car. And she failed there and then on the spot because she didn't know how to control all of the car at the time. The only thing I did wrong during my exam was when I did a three. Oh, don't forget, I got a manual license as well. You only got manual. There was no such thing as an. Well, auto. There was, but it was extremely rare to get an automatic license, so all manual. So, yeah, manual license. And then during my exam, when I was doing a 3-point turn,
yeah,
I stalled the car during it, but that didn't fail me. So, I think you lose a point off it. But that was okay because I still managed to do the 3-point turn and go back. But, yeah, I had my license 6 hours later. It's just insane when I think back because then as I've got a sister who's a lot younger than me, 17 years, when she was doing hers, which would have been the same later than you, like I drove for hours with her in signing that book and getting her hours up and writing. So I know exactly what you're talking about, but no, I had my license in 6 hours.
Because we had to demonstrate that we were driving at different times of the day, in different weather conditions, nothing. In different types of roads.
I never drove at night before I got my license.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd never been on a freeway before I got my license. I don't think I'd been above 60 kilometres an hour before I got my license. It's just, I can still remember the first day I drove. I had friends in the car. I had this new car when picked up some girlfriends and we all hopped into my new car. When I say new, the car was a bomb, a really old car.
Secondhand car.
Yeah, it was old. It was old back then. It was an old Honda. And when I picked them up, we went driving. You know, I had my license because I was the first one to get my license. And we drove to university. I can remember we were on this very steep hill on the way to UWA. And if you live in WA, you know what I'm talking about. And you had to hill start because, you know, I'm in a manual car. And I can remember having the handbrake, having my foot on the clutch, getting ready, and then releasing the handbrake and you roll back a little bit. It's me and three other women in the car. Like, oh, my God. It's like a core memory for me. It's just crazy. I know why they do what they do now. Like, I 100%. Completely get it. The only thing I would say is I was never stupid in a car. I was never a hoon. To this day, I never drank alcohol.
Yeah.
Because of that, because I didn't drink alcohol, I was extremely popular in university as giving people a lift. Like, I drove a
lot. You were the designated driver.
Always, and people loved it. I got invited to everything because of that reason. I know that's why. Because I could drive people home because I didn't drink. So I did a lot of driving in my day. But I will say in my 20s, I actually know of some people who died in car accidents because we all got our licenses too early, like some really sad stories around that. Like we'd be at 21st birthday parties and someone had died on the way home driving themselves home, God. You know, and it's because we all had licenses so fast. And those tragedies is what would have made the changes to driving today, I get it.
Because on your L's now you're not, and even on your, now you have two different levels of P's.
Mm.
And so when you're a red P plater, you can't take passengers.
Yeah, fair enough too.
Yeah. And so I do, as a public health person, I think that's a very good thing. But I did crash the car when I was on my L's with my mum and my little sister in the back seat.
Oh.
Into my primary school fence.
No one hurt?
No, but the car was pretty damaged.
Oh, wow.
I think the kids in the school thought a bomb had gone off and I was really upset by it and I still went to school.
Because you get on with it.
You just get on with it. But I was like, whoa, I don't think I've properly processed the fact that I crashed the car.
That's funny.
Just miscalculated the turn. But I do remember when I was able to drive and I was the only person in the car, it was a really mm-hmm. weird experience. Like, you know, you go from always being driven to having then someone supervising you driving and then suddenly you're the driver by yourself in the car. I was like, this is quite lonely.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I loved it. I always thought I could be a taxi driver. You know, I like driving. And when I lived in the country for all those years, you know, I lived in Geraldton from 21 onwards. Like, it's 450 Ks between there and Perth, and I used to drive it a lot, like an awful lot, all times of night. I've done a lot of driving in my day. I love cars. But I've never been oh, touch wood, I've never been involved in a serious accident or anything like that. Sure, there's a couple of times when people have hit me, but nothing. Been very, very lucky, yeah. I am quite a cautious driver, I will say that, and particularly in Melbourne, people are crazy on the roads.
Yeah.
But I had a comment recently from my husband, so I'm just going to share it because I've been driving for 40 years, right, so a long time, and I'm in the car and I didn't realise how much I commentate when I drive. Like I talk out loud about, look at that idiot. Oh, can you believe they just did that? And so Milan says to me, he goes, I don't know why you like driving so much. He goes, it makes you so angry.
Yeah.
He goes, you're just so angry when you drive, as in like angry at other people. And I'm saying, and I say to him, but they're just doing such stupid things. Yeah. Like I don't understand for a few seconds to get somewhere faster. Why do that? Like why put themselves and everybody else at risk? I don't understand. Why do you do that?
I'm the same. I do it as a passenger as well.
Oh, okay.
And I'm a very cautious driver, so I don't like people taking risks on the road. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm often like, oh, my God, look at what that car just did. Oh, my God, look at this. Rah, rah, rah. I hate driving next to trucks.
Oh, okay.
I hate driving next to trucks. I hate driving next to cyclists. I hate driving next to motorcyclists. Like, I just think the trucks are too big and often take risks. And I've seen some crazy truck driving behaviour.
Oh, really?
Yeah, crazy truck driving behaviour. But the motorcyclists, I'm like, you are not that protected.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you will die.
I saw someone do something last night on a motorcycle and my husband was my passenger and he even went, like, wow, that was really dangerous. Like, he was worried for the motorcyclists. And then we got to the lights and then the motorcyclist went to take off and he almost fell off his bike. And Milan just goes, wow, like, I hope he's okay. Like, it was scary to watch.
Wow.
You know, just crazy. I don't think he was drunk or anything. I think he was just doing stupid, risky things.
Yeah.
And it was a big bike, not a little bike. It was a full-on motorcycle. So it was just, yeah, I've seen some pretty hairy accidents though.
Yeah.
For a year, I had to drive on the major motorway here, the Monash, to get to work, and it was an hour one way, an hour back. And I saw some really terrible accidents, like live watching it as I'm going. Like one of them, a tyre actually on the opposite laneway, a tyre came off a car and hit my car.
Wow.
Yeah, it flew off the car because the car hit the barricade and exploded literally. So I pulled over and then other cars pulled over behind me like, and they're going, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm fine. Like it didn't damage, like it didn't break my windscreen, just hit my bonnet. And I was like, no, I'm fine. But even now I can replay that in my mind, watching that happening coming towards me. But there's nothing you can do. There's, you know, you just try and be as safe as you can. But, yeah, there's nothing you can do. But seeing, I felt so, they jackknifed. They had a trailer and it sort of jackknifed.
God.
And I don't think they were being stupid. I think the tyre probably exploded and that's what happened. Yeah, like I think with today, with the way the licensing is, it's much better. But I will say I've got a lot of nieces and nephews in that. They're not keen to get their license.
Is it because of the cost of driving?
I don't know. Like they'll just jump in an Uber.
Oh, yeah.
That's the sort of – that's really the way they are. Like who wants to drive? You know, they can't be on their phones when they drive.
That's true.
Whereas they can be on their phone on the Uber and phone on the train.
Well,
or the,
I mean, people
and they catch a lot of public transport.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're just like – they like one of my nephews, he didn't get his license for – he got the L's and then didn't get his license for years, you know. Like it just didn't – just – it wasn't – I found that really weird. He'd be a millennial. I found that really weird because my generation, we were desperate to get our license. Like I can't even explain to you. It was a real thing for me.
But also back in the day – public transport probably wasn't as good as
God,
it is now.
Perth, nothing.
Yeah, it's and terrible. So like actually to get around.
And big distances.
And I think the rest of the world doesn't understand how big distances are in Australia.
Yeah.
And so you kind of are like, well, driving sometimes is a necessity to get out and about. But I was just going to share, when you talked about the tyre hitting your bonnet, I remember also remembering I'm a cautious driver, coming back from the supermarket and a woman in a red car took the corner too fast,
mm-hmm.
flipped her car and it landed right in front of me. So yeah. I was driving like this and she, well, you can't see my hands, but anyway, she flipped and I could have put my hand outside my window and touched it.
Wow.
That's how close her car was to hitting my car.
Yeah.
And I remember calling 000, which is what we call in Australia. And I was so shocked and shaken, I couldn't even hear what the person was saying to me to give them the instructions.
Yeah.
I was like, there's a car accident, there's a car accident, there's a car, you need to send someone, you need, and they were like, where are you, where are you? Obviously, people who were, other people who had witnessed it also rang because within 2 seconds, the emergency services were there. I think she was okay, but I was, that really did shake me up. And like, I get to the point where, you know, even when I'm crossing intersections, like I, even if the light's green and I'm the first car, I check that.
Yeah. You have to.
There's no one speeding through.
Yeah.
But I was also going to ask you, as type ones, we have our license, we have to have a medical review to keep driving every year.
I actually did mine this
year. Same. Then.
Yeah.
Mine just got approved. Yeah. And it's all about proving that you've got a medical fitness to drive.
Yeah.
And so you have to get specialist reports and eye reports and all sorts of things every freaking 12 months.
Oh, no, mine wasn't 12 months.
Oh, isn't yours?
No, they gave me longer than that, my license. Yeah.
Huh. I have to get mine every 12 months.
Oh, really?
I wonder if it's because I've got more health conditions
than
you.
Maybe it's because it's more health conditions. Yeah. No, I didn't have to do it. I think I've got a 10-year license at the moment. I think, I'll have to check,
No, my license is for 10 years, but the, medical review I have to do every 12 months.
Oh, no, I didn't get a thing to say every 12 months for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it must be because you've got more conditions than I've got. It must be.
So annoying. I mean, I pass it every time because I am cautious and I make sure my blood sugars are all right and all of that kind of stuff.
Do you know, you've just pinged a memory for me saying that too. So yesterday I'm at the South Melbourne markets, right?
Yeah.
And I'm with a friend of mine and we're driving into the car park and this man gets out of the car with his wife and he's driving a very, very beautiful four-wheel drive Mercedes-Benz and that's what caught my friend's eye and they go, oh, it's a beautiful car. And then we looked at the driver. He's an older man. He's got a walking cane. He can barely walk. He's just got out of the driver's seat. And my passenger, who's in his 70s, he just went, how does that man have a license?
Yeah.
Like it blew his mind that somebody who could barely walk had just got out of a driver's seat of the car.
Well, we did have that incident this week where a 91-year-old ran into the back of a family.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite a shock to see.
Yeah.
To see, like, how are you controlling that car if you can't walk?
If you can't walk and your just reaction speeds and all of that kind of stuff need to be.
Yeah.
I have two questions for you. One, do you often drive if it's you and Maladdin or do you take it in turns?
No, I drive every single time. He hates it.
Scott always drives when we are in the car together.
I think that's the way it is in some relationships. Like, so Maladdin hates to drive.
Yeah.
He's a fairly okay driver. He's never had an accident, but he hates it. Yeah, so I'll drive every time. Every time. When we used to drive between Geraldton and Perth, we shared it quite a bit, the longer distances. I'm not worried about our trucks because we had the road trains where it would be massive, massive things you have to pass. So for me, then they're not such a freak out. But no, I drive every time. And it's not because he drinks because he's not a big drinker. So it's just, it's just natural. We don't even talk about it. I just walk to the driver's side and he just walks to the passenger side every single time.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. I just, we're the exact same. But I think Scott would be like, why would you drive? and so, but I am a very bad backseat driver and I give all sorts of advice.
Yeah, see, Maladdin doesn't give any advice.
And so he probably doesn't appreciate that. Would you drive would you get a self-driving car?
Probably not because I actually enjoy driving, but I know Maladdin would.
Mm.
He'd get a self-driving car in a second. So he longs for that day. But whereas, because we talk about it, he would long for that day. He thinks it's great. But whereas me, no. Maybe it's just that I just can't let the control go. It might be a control issue
with
me.
Do you use cruise control?
I do use cruise control. Yeah, I do. I had a funny thing not long ago. I was driving up to Bairnsdale, which takes a few hours, and I went up one day, worked 2 days and came back. And all of a sudden I developed this really, really sore finger. And I was thinking, God, why is my finger so sore? Had I done something weird while I was working up there? And then I hopped back in the car to drive somewhere else and I realised it was my finger that turns the indicator on and off. And it's just that it was an RSI because I'd been changing lanes, you know, as you drive on a country road, and I'd used my finger so much, you know, putting the indicator on, that it was sore. I've never experienced that before. Have you ever had that?
Or just... No. But I know I can sometimes tense up when I'm driving and I can hold myself quite tight when I'm driving. But, you know, one thing I do love about my car and the car before this one had the same is the heated seats.
Oh, yeah.
And so I feel like that can kind of really ease some muscle aches when you've got them. But one, you know, you talking about driving on country roads, like when we go down to Venus Bay, we're driving on country roads. And one thing I always hate is that, you know, you're driving, it's a single lane, and then you get an overtaking lane.
Mm-hmm.
And half the time, I'm just happy to sit behind the slow driver, to be honest. I'm not going to overtake because the overtaking lane is generally going up a hill.
Yeah.
So you have to accelerate
to put your foot down
and go woof.
Yeah.
And it's not a long overtaking lane.
Yeah.
And so, and then you have to get back into the, and so sometimes there's like a whole line of cars trying to do this overtaking lane situation. Yeah. I'm just like, this is too bloody stressful. I'll just sit behind the slow driver.
Yeah, because sometimes I'm a bit like that. I just think I'm not in a rush.
Yeah.
I'll get there, you know, like I just don't. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like driving is competitive on the roads and I try not to be like that.
100%.
I try to, as much as I say that I give a whole commentary, I don't drive angry. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm not an angry driver. Like I might be yelling at people going, why'd you do that, you idiot? Or I'm not yelling that they can hear me. Like I don't have any road rage that way. Oh, God, I'd be mortified. But you know, my own commentary. They probably see my face. Are you a person that lets people in? Like
yeah,
I let people 100%, in all the
100%.
Time. 100%.
I'd like, rather let them in than not.
So this morning I was going to the Cairo and I had to drive there and the traffic was quite a lot. And so, you know, I was letting cars in and all that. And then there was this one car that I left a big space for them to come in and they didn't come in. I was like, come in, come. I'm doing this, you know, people can't see, but I'm trying to wave going, come on, mate, come in. But I think they might have been on their phone. So they didn't see that I was. So in the end it's like, okay, I'm going to go. So I think a lot of people are on their phones.
100%.
And, you know, you're at the lights and then all of a sudden the lights turn green and you're thinking, are you going to go? And you know that they're on their phone.
They're on their phone, you know, in that moment.
I definitely, I can tell you right now, I'm not on my phone when I drive. I really, I put it, I might have a podcast going on it sometimes that I put through the phone system in the car, but like I'm not on my phone.
Neither
am
I.
Think, it's like even today, you know, I was going to be a few minutes late today to the studio and it's like I'm driving knowing that, but I didn't pull up my phone to send you a text to say.
Yeah.
I literally, when I parked, you know, and I texted you and said, oh, I've just parked, I'm 5 minutes away. But a lot of people would have grabbed their phone and done
and
it while they're driving.
Text.
Yeah. And I thought, okay, it'll wait. It'll be okay. But, yeah, I see a lot of people on their phones.
But the speed and red light cameras can now pick that up as a fine.
We were talking about that to our friend from WA yesterday, just saying, oh, you don't want to be on your phones now. I sometimes worry because sometimes I have my insulin pump out on my lap and I think, well, they think that's a phone.
I often think that too because, like, sometimes when I'm driving...
It's uncomfortable or it's sitting or something.
It's sitting and so I just have it sitting on my lap, but also if I have to quickly check it because I am monitoring my blood sugars as I'm driving.
Yeah.
I'm a very safe type 1 driver and I will pull over and have a snack and a rest if I need to.
You have to.
Because, and this is like something that blew my mind when I got diagnosed with type 1 that I didn't realise how much blood glucose it takes to drive.
Mm.
And so, you know, for a 30-minute drive, I can drop to, I could be at 8 and I could drop to 3.
Because your brain's working like crazy.
And particularly, so like, you know, I've got all these strategies. Like I will always eat something and I'll always, you know,
Do you keep lollies in the car?
I, you know, will pull over if I need to. I give myself plenty of time to get to places if I'm driving in case I need to stop.
Yes.
So I think it is, it's quite an interesting thing knowing the impact driving has on your brain and your capacity to do things.
It's true, actually. And because I would never worry about falling asleep at the wheel because I just wouldn't drive if I was tired, but I would worry about low blood sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always got a pack of lollies at the front of the car and then I can just start chewing down on them because, you know, sometimes you get that bit of aura that it's coming on and then I just start putting lollies into me. Or I must say, every time I hop into a car, I've checked my blood sugar before I start driving.
100% same.
I always do that. I always have a look to see. It's just so natural just to go, where am I at? Okay, yeah, I'm fine.
Well, they said you're not allowed to drive under 5.
Okay. And you're not meant to drive over 9. Did you know that too?
Oh, I didn't know that. You're but that makes sense. Not meant to drive high either. Because I get very sleepy when I'm high.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but you know, now that we have like closed loop insulin pumps, it kind of monitors so much of it for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will not take that risk.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Because when I went to my doctor's for my driver's thing, I think if your blood sugars, you know, you're one where they test for a number of months, I think if it's like over 9.5 or something, there's a question whether you can have a license or not.
So your HbA1c.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it has to be below. I think I'm saying this right. It may not, but I think it was 9.5. If your score's over that, then there is a question about whether you can have a driver's license. So you've got to keep that number good.
Yeah.
As well, that's got to be a good number. Yeah, and I remember one of my specialists telling me that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, but I've always thought because I'm a type 1, I'll never be able to have a job as a train driver or a tram driver.
Did you want
to
drop
a No, no, but I would never be able to be a taxi driver or like there's certain jobs, driving jobs that are now no longer available to me. I wouldn't be allowed to drive a school bus with kids or fair enough. I get it. Never be. And then I know this is funny because I often think about things that type 1 has changed for me. Like I've thought about, luckily I wasn't a pilot or a job that needed that or a microsurgeon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you had a job for driving, and a lot of people do, if you become a type 1, you're going to lose that job.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. And then I don't know. I mean, luckily I only got the type 1 in my 30s, so already I'd already been driving for, you know, more than 15 years by the time it became a type 1, so it didn't,
It didn't bother you.
No. But then I had to, of course, let them know I'd become a type 1 and all that sort of stuff. And
well, I didn't let them know. My specialist did.
Oh, really?
And so the first I hear about it is I get a letter saying you're going to have a medical review every 12 months.
Oh.
So I think they have to
report it.
They have to. Well, these days I think it's a mandatory reporting, and it's the same with
epilepsy,
dementia, all of those types of things. Oh, okay. There's like queries as to whether or not you can continue driving.
Okay.
So you know,
it's like my dad. When my dad was starting to go blind, his doctor said, "We're going to revoke. If you don't revoke your license, we're going to do it."
For you.
Yeah. I mean, he'd already stopped driving anyway, but it was actually said to him. Yeah.
And it's like one of the things, like, you know, I'm on the National Disability Insurance Scheme, and so I have funding to catch taxis or Ubers when I'm not feeling well.
Yes.
And so I will always, if I'm like too stiff or too, like not, if I'm a bit ataxic or, you know, that's, or just not feeling 100%, I won't drive.
Yes.
I'll catch an Uber or take public transport or something else instead.
Yeah, well, maybe it's not a good thing with type 1s, but it certainly makes us more aware of the responsibilities we have on the road, not to ourselves and to others around us, you know, just be more careful about it. But, yeah, a license within six lessons and I've got my license. It is stupid when I think about it now. Like, but, you know, at the time we didn't think it was. My parents certainly weren't worried because that's the way they all got their licenses. They were from New Zealand, so my parents had their license. God, they were young. New Zealand was something like 14. It was much younger than Australia at the time. It's funny. I went to a racetrack recently to do go-karts for Mother's Day. Lots of fun. I was the worst person on the track and I thought I was going to be one of the best. And my nephews and nieces were literally, and all the other kids that were on the track were much faster than me because, and none of them have licenses, because they were maniacs on that road.
Wow.
Right, because they don't see the consequences, you know what I mean? Like I got hit from behind by some kids, not by my nieces and nephews. some kids just hit the back of me because they're just screaming up and they can't stop. And just like,
oh my God.
And so that made me even more like, bloody hell, I'm going to have a real accident here.
Yeah.
And that was a real shock for me, to be honest, to be on that track, because I've done a lot of go-karting in the day, and I thought, oh, I'm going to, you know, show all these kids how it's done. And then not at all, because these kids had no fear, like no fear. You know, I was coming up to these corners thinking, right, better take my foot off the accelerator, and the kids were just going, you know.
Do you think it's because they're playing video games which are driving-based?
Could be. I mean, they came off the track multiple times,
Wowzers.
These kids. Multiple times. Anyway, we got to the end. I am a pretty competitive person. And then they put all your scores up and all your things. My score was terrible compared to the kids.
Yeah.
The kids. But actually, I didn't feel that bad about it.
Yeah.
I thought I would. And the kids are going, oh, we were so much faster than you, Fiona. I was going, yeah, good on you. Thinking, yeah, and I'm still alive, so that's okay.
Yeah. It's just like... But I just think it's such an interesting thing, like even thinking about that, but like how much our road rules have changed and like just the different driving systems and alcohol and speed limits and all of those seat belts, you know, all of – did you have to have seat belts back in
we
your
did.
Day?
We did. When I got my license, seat belts were in. Yeah.
Yeah.
But as I said beforehand when I was a kid, nah.
Nah. And cars are so much safer than they used to be.
Yeah.
So much
all
safer.
All the airbags and the safety brakes.
Crumple and zones and all sorts of
which
things.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Which is great. Which is absolutely great.
So I think we're in a different era. So
better. I think better. I really do. But I think we're headed towards you won't get a license anymore. Like you'll just be driven by a car, you know, that no one's driving. You know what I mean? Like, what do they call that? A driverless car. That's what's going to happen.
Goodness.
Or your Uber everywhere. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. It's Dash. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the XYZ Experiment podcast. And don't forget to leave a rating and a review. If you've enjoyed our show and like what you're hearing, tell all your friends and family and hit that subscribe button. If you want to hear our updates and know when episodes drop, follow us on Instagram at the XYZ Experiment for all the latest updates and news. And our original music was composed and performed by the amazing Luke Champion.